Welcome to Home Downtown Podcast, led by Pastors Jordan and Brooke Serio. We hope these messages will inspire you to live a life full of creativity, love, and faith.
Before we start, can you just turn around and look at the person behind you? It's like, oh, everyone's looking. Now look next to you. Now punch your neighbor in the face, just kidding. Nobody do, oh, I saw that back there. Do not punch. The reason that we just looked at each other awkwardly is because I want us to understand that when we are attending Home Downtown, when we're attending any service, the people around us are actually our family. Even if you don't know anybody here, you feel like, oh, everyone's going to judge me. I don't fit in. I don't know the culture. I don't understand. And I felt that way. We moved 13 times before I was in seventh grade, going to different churches, different schools. There's always that feeling of, I feel like an outsider. I feel different. Even if you've came to Home since day one, a year ago, a year and a half ago, you could still feel like an outsider. I think it's just a human condition. I think some personalities is a lot easier than others, but for someone like me, it's almost too easy to feel like excluded, or if I see people talking to each other and I'm not a part of it, I'm like, they're probably talking about me. And they're probably not. I'm not that important as I think I am. But it just is something that happens, and I wanted us to talk about this because this is exactly what is happening to the people that Paul is writing to, or sorry, that Peter is writing to in the letter of 1 Peter. These people were displaced from Rome to modern-day Turkey, and they're in a place where they're not welcome. They're not supposed to be there. A couple weeks ago when I shared about eating lunch in the bathroom in high school every now and then. These people are eating lunch in the bathroom every day. They don't belong, and no one wants them around. And Peter is writing this letter to them to let them know that they actually are included into God's kingdom, that he has a place for them at his table. And maybe you came here and you feel like there's no place for you, but let me tell you, if you're a part of God's community, there is a seat for you, whether it's your first time or your last time or whatever. There's a seat for you. And when you look around, you don't need to look around at other people with the idea that they are probably judging me. You can look at them and say, I want to honor them by including them into my life. Honor is inclusion. We learned that 4 weeks ago. And so as we start, I wanted to read from chapter 4. And we're ending in chapter 4. I know there's another chapter, but that is for you to read on your own time. So therefore, homework exists at Home Downtown. So let's open up to 1 Peter 4, and we're going to start at verse 7. So I'll give you a moment to find that. Hey, Abby, can we turn these lights on too? I turned them off earlier, but now I feel like I'm in a cave. Is everyone there? Did you find it? Okay. Most people are nodding their heads. I think that means yes. 4, and we're starting verse 7. So here it is. I'm in the ESV version. It'll be on the screen as well. And it reads this: The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And like I said earlier, what we've learned is that these people were excluded. And he tells these people, the end of all things is at hand. Verse 7 starts with, the end of all things is at hand. And it's interesting because growing up, my dad was a pastor, and we moved all over, different churches, different states, different cities. And there's a common narrative for American believers. And what it is maybe you see it on the news, your parents speak this way, but there's almost this idea there is a war going on versus the secular world, which doesn't exist, but that's another series that we're going to hit on soon. But there's this idea that there's a war on Christmas. There's a war on Christians. There's a war on the church. And sometimes it's the liberals or the millennials or these people or this and that. They're doing it all wrong and they're attacking us and we need to defend ourselves and push your whatever agenda that you have. Push it against that and fight against and win and vote the right way and do all these things. And that's an easy, common narrative for us to fall into in America because we always basically get what we want. And when somebody disagrees with us, when somebody says, hey, you can't have that, or what if we did it this way, it's easy for us to get offended. It's easy for us to get defensive. And if you've witnessed this, it typically doesn't feel like love. It feels like fear. It feels like anger. And it sometimes feels like hatred. And the common response to those things are to fight or to flee. And if you're not fighting, then you're probably fleeing, which means you're hiding yourself. You're hanging out with people that think like you, vote like you, talk like you. And if the end is near, shouldn't we hide or shouldn't we fight? But Peter means something different when he says the end of all things is at hand. The word translated end into Greek. Micah and Joe and I are learning Greek right now, and I'm really super bad at it. And we're in class, and Pastor Joseph's like, all right, guys, what'd you do? And I look at their paper, they have everything filled out, and they're like speaking Greek to one another after 1 week. And I like don't even know how to like say anything. I don't even know the first letter of the alphabet, which is A, but like I don't know how to write it. I don't know anything. And I copied Micah's homework. It felt like high school. And let me know when you're done with the next assignment so I can copy again. But the word end, translated into Greek, is telos, which means in Greek the goal or target or intended purpose. The goal is at hand. The purpose is at hand. The final chapter has begun, and the resurrection was the turning of a page into the last chapter of humanity. And to these people who feel excluded, who feel like they're being fought against, who feel like they're not in a safe place, he doesn't tell them to fight. He doesn't tell them to flee. He doesn't tell them to exclude themselves. He writes to them and he says, now that the end goal is near, now is the time to release thoughtful prayers and welcome strangers and be hospitable without grumbling and have love that is earnest and full of love and full of grace. Be this way. And in this moment that we're in and that God is in with us, there's always a temptation to fight against. I mean, it makes sense that if you have an enemy, you should fight against them. Like, don't you want to win? And it's easy also to exclude yourself, to never have a conversation because you don't want to understand anybody else because it might mean that you're wrong. And we're not always used to that. And our flesh says, fight or flee, but don't love. And to these people who could have easily fought, they could have easily ran away back to where they came from. I mean, probably not easily, because it wasn't their choice that they were there, but he says, don't complain. Pray thoughtfully. Love earnestly. And in our moment right now is the time to honor one another. And we're in this series, Honor Everyone, because we really felt that where we were going as a community was to somewhere where, yeah, maybe we had a little bit of growth in spiritual areas, and maybe we know how to, I don't know, sing prayers, and we know how to maybe have a devotional and spend time with the Lord, but do we know how to see other people was really what I felt like the Lord was asking of us. Like, do you know how to see other people? And do you know how I see you? And in week, I think it was week two, I kind of talked about how the Lord has honored us, how we didn't deserve a seat at the table because of the sin we committed and all the things that we did wrong, and we can't keep it together. But yet, Jesus came, and he removed all those things so that we have a seat at the table forever. And now, because of that, I can honor other people because I have been honored. And then it cost me anything, and it still doesn't cost me anything to honor someone. It cost me nothing. And if we believe that honor is inclusion, what does that mean? It means to include them into your life, to pull up a seat at your table, an extra chair, to have a meaningful conversation with someone in a world that otherwise just wants what it wants and wants to leave when it gets it. And if we're going to be the availability of Jesus in the world, shouldn't we see other people the same way that he sees them? And it's difficult when people disagree. It's not like it's like, oh, okay, cool, that makes sense. Typically, I like want to prove other people wrong because I get a little bit of satisfaction from winning. Raise your hand if you have felt that way. You just want to win an argument even though you know that you're being a jerk. Oh, some of your hands went down. It's just me. Okay. Being married, I've learned this. I wasn't always the best husband. I am now, though. I don't see Brooke in here, so... Oh, she's back there. Oh. Your face is making me concerned. it's so easy to say, you know what? You disagree with me. I'm going to unfriend you. That's like our millennial answer to most things. I'm going to block you, I'm going to unfriend you, and I win. I unfriended you first. And yet, here in 1 Peter, he writes to these people who are going through a lot worse things than you are and than I am, and he says, be thoughtful in your prayers. Be hospitable without grumbling. We can see ourselves as the availability of Jesus to the world because he has honored us when we did not deserve honor. Because he wants you to be the availability of himself in the world. That's who you are. He wants to run his kingdom through us, through you. Even though you think you're the last person that he would ever use. Trust me, I'm up here and I'm the last person that I ever thought God would use. I used to repair windshields. Nathan Lark knows what I'm talking about. I was the best windshield repairman in the West. Just kidding. I broke a lot of windshields, and I had to pay for them. Which doesn't seem fair, actually. But how can we be the availability of Jesus? I think at church it's really easy to say like cool things like, you're the availability. And then like everyone's like, wow, that's pretty good. But then we go home and we're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. I've typically felt that way growing up in church. And even now sometimes, or listen to my own messages, I'm like, how do I do that? And then I never answer myself because I don't know how. A lot of the time I'm going through this thing where I'm trying to answer my own questions. And I'm trying to grow, not alone. Thankfully, I have a lot of mentors, and we're a part of a church here. Home is not its own thing. Brooke and I were very blessed to have leadership and people who have done ministry for longer than we've been alive. Pastor Joseph is actually has a doctorate. And man, if you ask him anything, he basically knows it. And he knows it in Hebrew, he knows it in Greek, and he's probably experienced it. Just a funny story about him. One time he was sharing a story. I think with me, I was going through a difficult time here, just feeling like inadequate. And like I was like, hey, people don't like me at home. What do I do? Some of you are like, mm-hmm. And I see you back there. And Pastor Joseph shared this story with me, and this is not on my notes, but I wanted to share it with you because I can't believe him. He said that there was a time when he was a pastor here, every Sunday there was a club. I don't know what their name was, but I think there's a reason Pastor Joseph doesn't know the name, because every Sunday they would get together downstairs, and they would talk about how bad his message was, and how heretical it was, and how he could have done better, and how it was wrong biblically and theologically. And he was telling me this, and I was like, what did you do? Like, did you, like, kick him out or something? And he said, no, I let him do it as long as they wanted. I said, are you okay? That seems wrong. And that's just the kind of guy Pastor Joseph is. He says, I don't do this for man, and I don't do it for me. If God asks me to do it, I do it. And if people don't like it, then I just ask God, is this the right thing? And if he says yes, I keep doing it. He's had people run outside in the middle of his message, stand on the front steps and scream how terrible of a man he was. And he's preaching bullcrap, and he doesn't do what he says he's going to do and all this stuff. And he just would just keep going. I'm like, you're whack, dude. You just keep preaching. Like, honestly, I don't know what I would do if that happened. I'd probably just tell Ross to go punch him. Because if I punched them, they would laugh. But how can we be the availability of Jesus to the world? How can we offer hospitality when maybe we don't have the finances to do so? Maybe we don't have an extra room in our house. Maybe we don't even have a working car. How can we be the availability of Jesus and show hospitality and love people when we don't necessarily have the resources to do so? Let me tell you, it says it in this part right here. It says in verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. I shared this with Growth Track, so this is going to be a repeat, but just stay focused. We all have gifts. Each and every one of us has a gift. Whether you believe it or not, God has given you a gift. He's given you a passion, and I believe that he gave it to you for a reason, and I'm sure you would agree. Each of us is unique and different, with gifts that are unique and different. And there's a reason and a plan for that, and there's a purpose for your gift. And maybe you feel like, oh, it doesn't fit into the church. Well, let me tell you, God doesn't dwell in the church. He dwells in the people that love him. He doesn't dwell in the service time. He dwells in you, the saint. And so when we are able to believe that, we can actually understand that I'm displaying who God is at my workplace, to my kids, to my family, when I'm at the grocery store. I am the availability of Jesus at King Supers, when I'm buying taquitos. I love taquitos. Some of you are like, we can tell, belly boy. Well, you know what? I've been doing sit-ups, okay? But listen, it's not only in pastors, it's not only in worship leaders, because these people that he was writing to were not in ministry. They were excluded. They were the nobodies, okay? They weren't even allowed to eat lunch outside the bathroom. And now here we are. We're sitting in this room, baristas, teachers, friends, mechanics, whatever it could be. And God says, use your gifts to serve one another. But when we see other people through the eyes of fear, we can't serve them because we're more concerned about how we feel. We're more concerned about what we get than what they get. But listen, you don't get it from human beings. You get it from God. And he has given it freely. You did nothing to deserve it. So now look at other people and say, they don't have to do anything to deserve me, to deserve my honor. And using your gifts doesn't cost you anything except maybe time, maybe a little bit of comfort. But listen, this is in the Bible. This is not, I'm not just like, hey, maybe think about this. This is in the Bible. There's a quote, and I do not remember who it's by, but it says, I wish I could have dinner with my enemies and say, we should have done this sooner. Maybe that would fix all the problems. And so we give freely. We become intentional with serving. we become intentional with giving. We become intentional with seeing people through the eyes of honor. And it's difficult. It's really difficult when you see people who maybe say one thing and do another. It's difficult to not take it personal and be offended. Let's be real. Like, it's not like just because I read this in the Bible, I'm suddenly, oh, I'm fixed now. I'll never be offended again. I'm serving with all my gifts. I'll never be selfish again. No, it's a choice. It takes time. But what we're doing here is we're asking God, hey, would you show yourself to me in this way? Can I grow in this way? If you're praying to love people better, typically what God will do is he'll help you love people better, but it might not be the way that you want it to be. It might not be where suddenly you find $100 in your wallet and you could just give it away. And it's easy and it's comfortable and he provided it. No, sometimes somebody will rear-end your car and you have an option to love them or be angry with them. And that just happened to Owen. And actually, we're going to do an extra giving time for him at the end. I think he needs $500, and so we're going to have buckets up here at the end to give money to him. If you don't know Owen, he is engaged to Alyssa, who did children's ministry. Stand up on the pew! No, I'm just kidding. She was like, no! But she did children's ministry for free for like a whole year. And yeah, and so we just want to bless them because, listen, this is honor. Even though Owen is working tonight, we can include him into our story because you know what? People are worth it. And when someone comes to something in their life where it's, I need help, we're the availability of Jesus to the world. And we can help. If you don't have money to give, you can pray for him. You can text him something encouraging. And it's not just him, it's everybody in your life. There's an opportunity right now to be like Jesus. And it's not that hard. Because listen, you don't have to muster up the strength on your own. He gives it to you. I was telling our leaders before service today that I felt as though the Lord was saying, hey, let your love spill out tonight. Don't hold anything back. And that's hard to say when it's like, yo, I'm tired. I deal with kids all day. I went to work. I have all this going on. But listen, we give out freely as he pours back into us. It's not the well of Jordan. I'm like, oh, I'm running out of water. Who deserves it the most? No, I give when it comes because the Lord gives to me when I need it. He's given me everything. I should not be able to afford to live in a house. I should not be able to have a family and have two children that are fully healthy. I don't deserve that. But he has given me things that I do not deserve because he honors me when I deserve shame. Because that's what he is like and that's what his people should be like as well. It also says in verse 10, as good stewards. We have to understand that doing nothing does not result in nothing. I think sometimes the church will say like, oh, I'm in a season of rest. I'm in a season of waiting. I think Christians love the word season and also the word tangible. And I'm kind of tired of the word tangible. I always just think of tangerines like in the bowl and I'm like, eh. That was like a really bad dad joke. Right when I said it, I regretted it. Maybe we can cut that out of the podcast. But... What was I saying? Oh, yeah, sorry. Doing nothing does not result in nothing. Even if you're in a season of rest, that doesn't mean you're resting from loving other people or serving or using your gifts. I don't understand why we like to cut out church as the first thing. Oh, I need to rest? I cut out my church community, but I'll do everything else. I'll still binge on Netflix. I'll still do things that aren't healthy for me. I'll sleep until 11 p.m., whatever it is. But yet we cut out church. We cut out other people. Hey, I don't have time for you. I know we've been friends for, you know, a year or two. I don't have time. I'm in a season of rest. I'm like, you're resting from me? And I think the Lord is saying the same thing. Rest does not mean that you stop doing things. Rest means that you do things that give you life instead. And doing nothing does not result in nothing. Doing nothing results in a squandering of the gifts that he has given you when he's given them to you to serve his church. And I'm not saying this because I've done it perfectly. But in every area of your life, in every area of this ministry, there's a place for you at the table, and it doesn't mean that you have to be speaking or leading worship. It can simply mean using your gifts. Maybe you're just friendly. You like people. Well, be friendly. Love people. God put that in you on purpose. Trust me, it is not natural to love people. Have you met people? I'm talking about you. I'm just kidding. But your intentionality with the things that God has given you brings redemption to the earth. Listen, heaven is coming to earth. And God is choosing us to redeem the world. He's running his kingdom through us. And so often we're more concerned about what we are going to have than what he is going to have in us. And I don't want to be a Christian that just believes when I want to. I want to be somebody who is growing and walking and running with the Lord, because I know that he is the one that's giving me all the energy that I need, all the finances that I need, all the love that I need to honor other people as he has honored me. It can simply be an extra chair at your dinner table. It can simply be an honest conversation where you look at someone in the eyes and you listen to what they're saying. Working in customer service, we have this opportunity all the time, and it's sometimes easy and it's sometimes difficult. But I'm working on this. I think it's weird that I noticed it, actually. But I noticed that when I would take people's orders, I work at a coffee shop, and they'd be ordering like lattes, cappuccinos, whatever, and it was really more comfortable for me to look at the iPad and just like talk like, okay, what do you want? Cool. Thank you so much. Have a good day. And like to never make eye contact with people, because I personally don't really love eye contact. I feel like I'm always like, there's something in my teeth, and my eyebrows messed up. I have this thing, this eyebrow just goes like this way, and so I shaved it the other day, like back. I kind of wanted to do like a Post Malone thing and just like put like one liner in here, but then I looked at Post Malone and I said, I don't want to look like that. great voice, though. But it's so much easier for me to not look at people and not really give them like that, I think it's honor, honestly. And so what I've been doing is I've been looking at people in the eyes and saying, like, hey, how's it going? And, like, waiting for their answer. I don't know how many of you guys drink coffee, but it sometimes can feel like there's just a transaction with your card and your coffee, but also with the human in front of the counter and behind the counter. It feels like it's just a transaction. But I want to be somebody who sees people and that I give them an opportunity to really share. Even if it's just, oh, my day's not that great. There's been a couple times where people have said, oh, one lady, she's like probably maybe 50-something, and she used to come in when I first got the job. She hasn't come in much recently, but she would always just be like kind of sad. You could kind of tell she was down, and she was older, and so she would come in later in the day, I think getting off work, and we'd be like, hey, how's it going? And she would always be on the phone with her divorce attorney, I think, or lawyer. I don't know if there's a difference. But she'd always be like, oh, yeah, I'm getting a divorce, and it sucks. And so what's really cool about where I work is that our boss, Sean, he says, hey, you get a free drink every day to give to somebody who you think would need it. And Dustin and Caleb and I would give this woman the free drink all the time. And listen, she never got saved. She never really even acted that thankful. But listen, that's not up to me to decide whether she is worthy of it or not. That's up to me to decide whether I want to be like Jesus or not. And instead of being like, oh, she's not that friendly, you're going to pay, sucka. I just gave it to her because, listen, she may have needed that chai for free. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but what I do know is that I have an opportunity. My boss at Building 3 said, hey, this is an opportunity, and I want to use it. I don't want to just always use it on a friend or whatever. I want to really be intentional when somebody shares that, like, oh, what can I do? And listen, I believe that I can do things like that and not grow tired because I'm not doing it for my own selfish gain. If you're getting burnt out, chances are you're doing it for yourself. Because God doesn't grow weary of loving us. He actually says in his word, do not grow weary in doing good. But yet we have seasons where we're burnt out. Listen, I understand like if you need a break and all that stuff, but I don't think that we always need to take a break from the ministry. Maybe we need to take a break from doing it for ourselves. There was a time where Brooke and I, before the conference that we had, it, basically my expectations were that like 2,000 people were going to show up. You can laugh. I know it's dumb. Like I was like, yo, like the whole city's coming. I'm like, I was like in the conference, like there's a Pikes Peak Market, and I'm like, oh man, so many people are going to show up. The whole, like, the ground's just going to shake because we're going to be so loud. And then it was, like, less than a normal Thursday night. And I'm like, you know how much money we spent? Only, like, $100, but a lot of things were for free. But I'm like, that's triple digits. And Berg and I were, like, we were downstairs with all our leaders. And we were just going through a time, I think my focus was wrong, honestly. And it was just difficult. I'm like, it feels like I'm failing. Like, nobody even cares that we're celebrating our first year. Like, no one cares. And the truth is that a lot of people care. But it's just easy for me to agree with that than agree with truth. It's way easier. And we were with our leaders, and I was just crying. Like, this, I feel like we're doing a bad job. I feel like we don't know what we're doing. We shouldn't be doing this. Like, this is supposed to be, like, the best, and it feels like the worst. And all of our leaders just began to pray for us. And I think if they wouldn't have prayed for us and said, like, hey, God loves you. I think it was Rebecca that shared with us, like, hey, God doesn't care how many people show up. God doesn't care how good it is. He only cares that you said yes. And ever since we kind of went through that time, we've been growing a lot in understanding, like, hey, if nobody shows up, if nobody cares, if nobody listens, and God has asked me to speak, I have to come to the conclusion that I will preach to an empty room if God asks me to speak. If he asks me to lead worship, I will lead worship to a room of nobody. If that's what he asks me to do. And what that does for me is it shifts my focus from me and then to you and up to God. Because like Pastor Joseph said to me with that story, he doesn't do it for people. He doesn't do it for himself. He does it for God. And it's a difference. There's a difference. And the worship team, you guys can come back up. But I want us just to understand before we go back into worship that your intentionality will bring redemption to the earth and redemption to your life, because what Jesus can do is what you could never do. And he's worth it. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I pray right now for Home Downtown and our community, into the surrounding homes on the street, into the people that maybe have came once and didn't come back, or the friends that we have that maybe don't know you. But Father, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you're doing and what you're saying to us. That we wouldn't listen to the negativity of the world that says, hey, you can't do it, you're not worthy, you deserve shame. Father, I ask that our ears would be tuned to you and your love for us. Father, I ask that we'd be willing to run to you when we feel like we don't deserve it. Father, I pray that we'd be willing to share what we're feeling with other people, that we would really see each other as a family of God, and that we would honor one another by including them into what you're doing. Father, that our coworkers who don't know that you love them yet, that they would come to the conclusion that God must be good because I met you. And Father, not so that we would have a better name, but that way you would have a better name. Because you're worthy of it all. And if we believe that, God, would you help us to see people the way you intended for us to see them? That us at Home Downtown would be a walking invitation into the redemptive story of Jesus in the world. That we wouldn't exclude ourselves to save friends, but that we would be an invitation to our neighbors, into our workplace, into our families. God, give us the resources, give us the eyes, give us the us the heart to show who you are. Help us to honor everyone, even those that have hurt us, that we would honor everyone by praying thoughtfully, by being hospitable without complaint. Help us to be the availability to the world. Father, help us to understand that we do all of this because you first loved us. Not so you'll love us, but because you love us. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for pursuing us. Father, right now in this moment, we choose to look at you. Give us hearts of honor as we live in the world and work next to people and drive next to people and live next to people who maybe don't agree with us. Help us to honor everyone.